Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotsky coming at you live from my house. It's Monday afternoon. We're doing a book club class, and you're in the right spot if you're looking for a reading and discussion of the majesty of Rosh Hashanah, understanding Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. Of course, those are the three categories of biblical verses that we invoke on Rosh Hashanah in the Musaf service. We've concluded Malchios, and today we're going to start Zechronos. Let's get to it. We're going to step into despair. Let's see what we can do today. I'm on page 143. Introduction to Zechronos, meaning God's remembering. He's going to start off with a question. And what can I say? I mean, I didn't really agree with the question. But many, many big rabbis, you know, do. And who am I? Let's hear how you feel about it. Introduction to Zechronos, meaning the verses that talk about God remembering. God's remembrance, what it means. The term zikaron, which of course means memory or remembering, used throughout this section must be properly understood. If the meaning was remembrance in the usual sense, it would be incomprehensible that this term is used with reference to God. He never forgets anything. As we say in the bracha of Zechronos itself, there is no forgetfulness before your throne of glory, and there is nothing hidden from before your eyes. Where there is no forgetfulness, what's the need for remembrance? What then is the meaning of this zikaron, remembrance? What is the purpose of Zechronos itself? Here I just want to stop for a second. To me, it's wrong to say that it's incomprehensible to use a pashup shot, plain old definition. To say that God doesn't forget anything, that's not incomprehensible. It's very comprehensible. And maybe it's a little bit redundant to keep on saying it over and over that God doesn't forget and God remembers and God doesn't forget and God, I get that. But to say that you have an understanding that God never forgets anything. So therefore, since God doesn't forget anything, it's incomprehensible to attribute to him the fact that he remembers. No, I don't think that's incomprehensible. I just think it's a little bit redundant. But I would never say it's incomprehensible. Very, very understandable. But I'm going to get voted down over here by the likes of Rabbi Dessler, Rabbi Solomon of the Lakewood Yeshiva. There's also somebody else here. Hold on a second. The Sifsei Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, who is the Mashkiach, I think, in Panovich, in Israel. If I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to get shot down. We're going to have to re-understand the word Zechronos and Zikaron, even though I thought it meant that God remembers and that these psukim are there to teach us that don't think for a second that he forgets anything. He remembers everything. Now, where's the harm in teaching you that 10 times over? The Torah says a lot of things over and over again so we don't forget about it. Be merciful, be kind, don't kill, don't steal. Remember to do the mitzvahs, Did I tell you the mitzvahs? Do the mitzvahs, love God. The mitzvahs, don't forget them. Do the mitzvahs. So that's said so many times in the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy. I don't really quite get what's offensive to say that God remembers. But listen, I'm going to read and you're going to think. He writes, the concept of zikaron, remembrance, can be understood by learning about how our actions affect the way God treats us. God sometimes makes his presence apparent to us, showing us his kindness and saving us from difficulties. At these times, he is showing his attribute of mercy. At other times, we don't feel his closeness and protection. He seems to be hiding his face from us and judging us strictly. What determines whether we will experience his mercy and hashgacha, personal providence, or not? Top page 144. Our remembrance of Hashem. The answer is that it all depends on us. If we live with awareness of Hashem, He will show His presence in our lives. The more we remember Him, the closer He'll be to us. The more we emulate His ways of kindness and mercy, the more He will make those ways apparent to us. We are the ones who arouse the way God judges us and treats us, the way we act, and the extent to which we remember Him have great ramifications for ourselves, our families and communities, and the world as a whole. When we become more aware of God and change our lives accordingly, Hashem changes the way He acts towards us and makes His presence more apparent in our lives. This is called Zikaron, remembering. Hashem never forgets us, but we may well have forgotten Him or not remembered Him consistently enough. When we remember God, He reveals His presence to us and it brings His blessing in its wake for ourselves and for all of Klal Yisrael. As it says in Tehillim, Hashem Zecharanu Yivarech, Hashem who has remembered us will bless. And that, of course, is the opening words of that Kapitel Tehillim, of that psalm that we sing all the time during Hallel. Hashem Zichron Yivarech, Yivarech Ez Beis Yisrael, Yivarech Ez Beis Yisrael. So that whole psalm of Tehillim, you know, that whole Kapitel, that whole, you know, chapter, portion of Psalms is all about God blessing. Jews in general, the house of Aaron, etc. So he's arguing that it's all about us. We've got to make the first move. We have to remember to remember God. And then He in turn will turn to us with His great mercy and kindness and love. All right? We remember Hashem. He reciprocates. Zichronos is all about strengthening our remembrance of God, meriting His hashkacha pratis, His close involvement in our lives as a result. The aim is to come as close as we can to the level described in this tefillah. Asher ish shelo yishkachecha uben adam yis'ametz bach. Praiseworthy is the man who does not forget you. Praiseworthy is the human being who takes strength in you. When we strive to emulate the ways of the patriarchs, God associates us, their descendants and spiritual heirs, with them. Their merit and the promises God made to them become more relevant to us. The patriarchs truly did not forget God. They constantly strengthen themselves spiritually through their intense awareness of Him. This led them to perceive and emulate His ways, each with his own unique approach. Their awareness of God enabled them to bring God's bracha to the world and His promise to us, their descendants. In a deeply emotive tefillah of Zichronos, these verses having to do with remembering, we implore God to act speedily to fulfill those promises. We pray that in His mercy, He will accept our repentance and our yearning for closeness to Him, and that He will invoke His remembrance of Israel in the merit of the patriarchs. The verses of Zichronos all revolve around this theme, that the more we remember God, the more He reveals His presence to us. Let me reread that. The more we remember God, the more He reveals His presence to us. It's based on the words of Rabbi Matthew Solomon of Lakewood, formerly of Gateshead, now Lakewood, and the Sifsei Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, Siosa Michtav Me'elio, Rabbi Elio Gessler. All right, let's go see. Now, the fact of the matter is that all these psukim are going to show that God's remembering Noah and remembering Israel and remembering, whoever God's going to remember, He remembers. So I thought, Pasha Pshat, Hashem remembers. doesn't forget. And these verses remind us that God cannot be mocked. You can't think, what kind of a memory does God have? Hey, listen, I forgot a lot of stuff from years and years and years ago. I'm sure he did too. Nothing doing. Everything's on audio and video. He just brings it up in a second, and he sits you down and makes you watch the movie of your life. And for some, it won't be pleasant. So I thought that it all just means that God remembers. But he's going to argue, he just did, that it all comes down to us. I've got to act like a human being, like a good Jew. And in the schus and the merit of that, God's going to remember me, and he's going to hopefully shower his blessings upon me and so on. So it all comes back to me. And it all comes back to we. And that's not a bad lesson to learn around this time of the year. So we do have to shape up a little bit. I just thought that it has nothing at all to do with me, that God just remembers on his own. But no, they're going to argue this mussary approach, that we've got to improve ourselves, and in so doing, God will remember us. To me, it's like a Hail Mary pass to the end zone, trying to get a touchdown approach to this. I don't know if we really have to come on to this. It's very mussardic. And while there's nothing wrong with being mussardic, I don't know that's push-up shot. I don't know that's a real simple understanding of this. I bet you can find a dozen sources, all of which talk about God being remembering and not being forgetful. But okay, we're reading this book. Summary. Introduction to the Zichronos. The word Zichronos, when Hashem remembers, it means that he makes his presence and providence more strongly felt in our lives. The more we live with the consciousness of his presence, the more we remember him, the more he shows his love for us. God changes his form of treatment from exacting punishment to bountiful kindness, according to what will more effectively awaken us to serve him properly. Okay, now we get three verses from the Torah. Top page 147. The first verse of Zichronos comes in Genesis, Bereishis chapter 8, where God remembers Noah. V'yizkor Elokim es Noach, v'yizkor Chaya v'yizkor Behemah asher ito b'teva. God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the animals which were with him in the ark. V'yaver Elokim ruach al haaretz, God caused the spirit to pass over the earth. V'yashoku hamayim, and the waters subsided. This verse from Parshas Noach is the first reference in the Torah to Hashem remembering. At the end of the flood, Noach, his family, and all the creatures with them in the Teva were in a desperate situation. The entire world had been destroyed and covered by the deluge. And it would only be through God's continued kindness and miracles that they would be able to come out and reestablish life on this world. It was due to Noah's remembrance of God through prayer that Hashem responded by demonstrating his attribute of remembrance for Noah and all those who depended on him. Rabbi Avigdor Miller said that on Rosh Hashanah, a situation is much like that of Noah at the end of the flood. Utterly helpless without God granting us life, health, and sustenance, we would do well to learn from Noah's example. This is the time to remember Hashem and to implore him for all our needs. Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. God remembered Noah. Noah, who had been spared the fate of the rest of his generation, had already been shown bountiful mercy by God. He had exhausted his merits, and the divine attribute of justice now required that Noah be shown no further favor. Because the footnote says, the name of God appearing over here is Elohim, the Midas Hadin, the attribute of judgment, that's what that name symbolizes. Even Noah and his family had not been spared from suffering at this time of the, as a result of din, of judgment, because Noah had not prayed on behalf of his generation. Wicked though they were. You see, Abram prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Why didn't Noah pray for his generation? She said, please, God, no, come on. You want to build the ark, whatever you want, but please have mercy. Have mercy on these people. Don't kill them. Abraham did later on. Jonah, not so much. We're studying Jonah. He wasn't so interested in praying to God for mercy for the Ninevites. But all right. Noah seems to have, according to this, he was at the end of his line of merit. He had exhausted his merits. And now it was to be the case that he'd be shown no further favor. Accordingly, he was stranded, unable to exit the ark. Wow. Let me just finish up a thought, and I'll read you a footnote. He was stranded, unable to exit the ark. Hashem now decided to exercise his attribute of mercy. What caused this change was the prayer of Noach the Tzaddik. Footnote. A rabbi teaches in Bereishis Rabbah 31 that during the period of the Mabul, Noach himself suffered terribly from conditions in the Teva and from his unimaginable workload of correctly and punctually feeding each and every species. He was completely exhausted by it all and was constantly praying, Hotzia mimaskir nafshi, take my soul out of imprisonment, in order to thank your name, be achtir tzadikim. Through me, tzadikim will crown you. Kisigmololai. When you have acted kindly towards me. That is right out of Tehillim. That is Psalm 142, verse 8. So David writing over there, one could say, he's talking about his own life, or he's alluding to Noah. The rabbis have a tradition that he's alluding to Noah. Noah, who during the period leading up to the flood had failed to pray sufficiently for the people of his generation, he was now placed by God in a situation in which he became fully aware that his only hope was through prayer. He prayed that now that he was remembering God, appreciating his life and his future, and those of all living beings were totally in God's hands, that Hashem would show him a favorable zikaron, a favorable remembrance. Noach prayed that in future times, tzaddikim would accept God as king and crown him with their praise. By mentioning the remembrance of, by Hashem, of Noach at this critical time. This would serve as a primary example of Hashem's midah of zikaron, remembrance, and how that zikaron is invoked through our actions, our thoughts, and our prayers. According to Rashi on the Midrash, Noah's request was answered by God through the inclusion of his remembrance in Zichronos. In our listing of verses, Noah comes up. That's God's reward to Noah. According to Rashi, Noah's request was answered by God through the inclusion of his remembrance in this 10-verse subsection. And he makes an appearance here. Top 149. Alternatively, the cause of the remembrance was Noah's merit. Because he was a perfect tzaddik. So says the Ramban. No reason to think that he lost out on his merits. He was a perfect tzaddik. He had been a tzaddik before. The pasuk says, V'noach ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosa, es elokim es alech Noach. He was a righteous man, whole and complete in his generations. He walked with God. From what do you want? Oh, we want him. He should have prayed to God for the people of his generation. I guess that's true. But does that take away from the fact that like three times over he's described as being righteous and whole and complete?
Yeah.
I mean, and what about feeding all those animals for like a year on the boat? Wasn't that worthy? He got kicked by this one and hit by that one. All kinds of craziness going on in the boat. Imagine trying to feed all these animals. I mean, obviously it would drive you out of your mind. Just do it one day, you go crazy. Try doing that almost 365 days in a row. And where do you get the food? I mean, I guess they had, you know, for patriots packed up, you know, freeze-dried food. I mean, I don't know, how do you have enough food to feed all these animals? I don't think, has anybody ever thought of that? I don't know. But we continue. I don't want to get too far afield with my mishkas. Getting back to the verse about Noah. And all the beasts and all the animals that are with him in the ark. Rashi explains that the animals also had a source of merit. These animals had not participated in the rampant interbreeding of species, which had occurred during the period before the Mabel. Okay. Our Chaim, whoever understands that the remembrance of the animals means that Hashem remembered the constant kindness that Noah showed throughout the time in the Teva. Noah had seen to the needs of every creature a stupendous and exhausting undertaking. By doing so, he was obeying God's command and going in his ways of kindness. Noah was truly remembering Hashem. But remembering Hashem in tefillah, as well as through God's myriad act of chesed, Noah merited Hashem's zikaron. Noah merited to have God in his life, privately, actively, in Noah's life, because he kept God in his prayers. This led to the earth drying out, and to Noah and all those with him being allowed to exit the Teva, the ark. Footnote, Hashem also took notice of the merits of future generations of his descendants. According to Rabbi Ephraim, God remembered the merit of Abraham. Gematria of Abraham is 248, or Resh Memches, hinted to by the last letters of Vayaver Elokim Ruach. Okay? Resh Memches. There you have it. Alluding to 248. The Mesh Agadot says that Hashem took note of the merit of Kabbalah's HaTorah, as the Jewish people accepted the Torah at Sinai. All right, continuing. Vayaver Elokim Ruach al Haaretz. God caused the Spirit to pass over the earth. Hashem acted in a way which demonstrated a, quote, spirit of comfort and calming regarding the world. And then finally, Vayashoku Amayim, the waters subsided. The waters calmed down from their turbulence. Strict justice or mercy, it all depends on us. Our verse, the first mention in the Torah of the concept of God's favorable zikaron being evoked through the deeds and tefillos of man, has important lessons for us. It was the prayers of a tzaddik which affected the transformation from justice to mercy. The Brisker Rav explains that the change was not in God, because as the Rambam writes, Hashem does not have the human limitation of fluctuating moods and emotions. Oh, I hate you now, but I want to forgive you. I like you again. You know, you let a half an hour go by, or you sleep on it, in the morning you feel a little bit better. Yeah, the guy wronged you. Yeah, the guy insulted you. But listen, that was yesterday. And hey, who remembers it anyway? Who was even there? Nobody remembers it. Nobody cares. Everybody's moved on. So that's human beings. It's not God. If you offend God, you do something ridiculous and offensive. You do a crazy avera. He doesn't forget small ones, big ones. He doesn't forget any of them. Hashem does not have the human limitation of fluctuating moods and emotions, says the Brisker Rav. Hashem constantly acts in accordance with the true spiritual needs of mankind. And if those needs are best served by his adopting the attribute of justice, then that is what he does. Conversely, when God judges the world and perceives that there is a need for his attribute of mercy, he shows mercy and judges with leniency. Quoting his father of Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav explains that this is the meaning of the words L'foel Rachma Vadin, which we say in the Piyutim of the Yom Narayim. It literally means to the one who, quote, works his mercies, end quote, in judgment. The foe Racham of Badin, he works in his mercies, in justice, in judgment. We don't say to he who feels mercy, because we are not referring to any change in Hashem. The change in the way God acts towards us is affected by our spiritual state and our need for his mercy. Our avodah, our worship service, is to become deserving of Hashem showing his mercy. There is no barrier, there's no limitation on his part. When Hashem sees that we are sincere in accepting his malchus and sincere in teshuva, then he will hearken to us, then he will hearken to our tefillah and activate his midas harachamim, his attribute of mercy, showing mercy to all of Klal Yisrael. But that's our avodah, it says. It's become deserving of Hashem. There's no barrier on his part. Hashem has to see that we are sincere in accepting his malchus and sincere in tshuva. When we make the first move and show that we're on God's team, everything will fall into place. Then he will hearken to our prayers and activate his midas harachamim, his midah, his attribute of mercy. So a summary of this first verse in the Torah. God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God caused the spirit to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The world had been destroyed by the flood. But God now exercised his mercy in response to, one, Noah's righteousness and the prayers he prayed throughout the calamity. Two, the animals who remained pure and to whose welfare Noah devoted himself wholeheartedly for a whole year. Imagine that. Just imagine being on a boat and you have to feed all the animals nonstop, basically. The first instance in the Torah of Hashem responding with Zikaron to man's deeds and prayers. On Rosh Hashanah, we also are entirely dependent on God's mercy. We need to pray devotedly for all our needs. On to the second verse of Zichronos. Here's the second one, and it comes out of Exodus chapter 2. Vayishma'el Kim es nachasam. God heard their moaning. Vayishkar Kim es briso. The Almighty remembered his covenant. Es Abraham, es Yitzchak, es Yaakov. You know, the one that he cut with Abraham and with Isaac and his son, Yaakov, Jacob. That's Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. Well, following the death of their enslaver, Pharaoh, the Jewish people's hopes for an improvement in their conditions were dashed when they realized that the new ruler was an even greater tyrant than his predecessor. The verse preceding others, the verse preceding ours tells us that the B'nai Israel had groaned and then cried out due to the unrelenting, crushing burdens they were forced to bear. Based on the Midrash, Rashi explains that the, quote, death of Paro means that he became sick with leprosy. On the sadistic recommendation of his doctors, Paro began to slaughter Jewish children every day and bathe in their blood. This was a new and unprecedented level of persecution. And consequently, the B'nai Israel cried out. Hashem was aware of these prayers, but was waiting for us to turn to him to prayer. Our verse describes the stage when Hashem's attribute of mercy was Zikaron was invoked. That was when we remembered him, that he alone is our source of help and protection. Hashem heard their moaning. God heard, meaning he accepted their moaning. Sforno explains that the cries which Hashem accepted were cries of prayer. The Almighty will remember his covenant. This as Abraham, as Yitzchak, as Yaakov. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hashem remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Yitzchak, and with Yaakov. The readiness that God showed him, that God showed here, to listen to our prayers, is how he acts towards us every time we call to him. The Hamigdavar understands that the Zikaron that God showed in our verse was not only for our verbally expressed prayers. Once Klal Yisrael had taken the opportunity of Paro's death to pray for relief. Let's just finish this. The Hamigdavar understands that the Zikaron, the remembrance that Hashem showed in our verse, was not only for our verbally expressed tefillos. Once Klal Yisrael had taken the opportunity of Paro's death to pray for relief from their crushing burdens, God took note of all their cries, of every groan of every Jew, even when not expressed as prayer. He did this for us in the merit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The effect of Yisrael's prayer, the end of the superpower. Okay, Victor Miller explains, Egypt at that time was the most powerful of nations. They had accumulated limitless wealth through Yosef's sale of grains in the years of famine. They were so powerful that never did a single slave escape from their land. And yet, what about Ephraim? What about that Midrash that the Ephraimites, they left prematurely and they were harshly dealt with? Ephraim at that time, says Rabbi Miller, was the most powerful of nations. They had accumulated limitless wealth through Joseph's sale of grains in the years of famine. They were so powerful that neither did a single slave, nor did any, a single slave did escape from their land. Our forefathers had been enslaved there, enduring back-breaking labor. Who would have thought, who would have imagined, who would have dared to imagine that Israel would get out, witnessing the downfall of their enemies? What did happen? Our forefathers had been enslaved there, enduring back-breaking labor. Who would have dared imagine that Israel would get out, witnessing the downfall of their enemies? What did happen? Umitraim, Mekabrim, Esasher, Hikar, Shembaim, and Egypt were burying all those that Hashem had smote among them, everywhere, whether they were Egyptians lying dead, while Israel was leaving Ramah Bayad. Okay? Umitraim, Mekabrim, Esasher, Hikar, Shembaim. Mitraim were burying all those that Hashem smote among them, everywhere, there were Egyptians lying dead, while Israel was leaving Ramah Bayad, or Bayad Ramah, triumphant, laden with their treasures. Top 155. We must remember that God will similarly remember us. One day, the entire world will witness the complete fulfillment of all the prophecies of our Nevi'im. That's Rabbi Avigdor Miller. The Zikaron that Israel achieved in Egypt effected a complete reversal of their terrible situation. This is why we recite this verse every Rosh Hashanah. We must learn from them and pray to God with great devotion. In this merit, may we very soon see the end of our tzedakahs and the complete redemption. Hashem is close by whenever we call. Hashem paid attention to the situation in which each Jew in Mitzrayim once we turned to him in prayer. Let me read it again. Hashem is close by whenever we call. God paid attention to the situation of each Jew in Egypt once we turned to him in prayer. Whereas we call to him in sincere prayer, he will pay close attention to our every soul. Okay? Hashem paid attention to the situation of each Jew in Egypt once we turned to him in prayer. Whenever we call to him in sincere prayer, God will pay close attention to our every word. That's what we learn from this verse, says the Sfarno. Ramban also writes that the Torah wants us to know that the way God hearkened to our prayers in Egypt was not a one-time miracle. This was to serve as a prototype for his readiness to listen to the prayer of every Jew at all times, especially to the prayers of the downtrodden and disadvantaged among us. The Torah promises that this closeness is always available to Israel, as it says in Parshas Vayeshanan. Kimi goy gadol asher lo elohim krovim elav. Kadar eloheinu b'chol koreinu elav. For which is a great nation which has a God close to it? As is God our God, whenever we call to him. Shoshana is the day when we need to make the best possible use of this guarantee. Calling God perfect is a powerful way of acting, of achieving a favorable zikaron before him. Again, calling God in tefillah, in prayer, is a powerful way of achieving a favorable zikaron before Him. God does not promise that we will get everything we pray for. What He does promise is that He is listening, and closely. Every true and sincere prayer has a positive result. Let us ensure that our prayers are from the heart. God promises that He is listening carefully. Yep, I've merited from this. Didn't even read it, but I learned the importance of prayer. Summary of the second verse in the Torah. God heard their moaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. Paro's persecution reached unprecedented cruelty. When the Jewish nation cried out in prayer, realizing that Hashem is the only source of hope and advice, then Hashem remembered me. He turned to them with mercy. Finally, He is ready to help us every time we cry out to Him. Let's do one more. The third verse is Zichronos. I'm top of page 157. The third verse is Zichronos, coming from the Torah. This is in Vayikra in Leviticus. V'zachati es bris Yaakov, v'afes bris Yitzchak, v'afes bris Yavim eskar v'haretz eskor. I'll remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. In the warnings of the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai, Hashem foretold the sequence of events that would occur leading up to and during the Babylonian exile. So it tells us that after all the suffering Christ went through, and then a partial return to Israel, those who returned would begin the process of teshuva with vidui, confession of sins. That is vidui. However, this initial step would not be sufficient to merit a complete end to their suffering. Even after they suffer. Okay? For even if they, however, this initial step would not be sufficient to merit a complete end to their own suffering. For even after their vidui, their confession, there would still be enemies who would cause distress to the newly reestablished Jewish communities in Egypt. In our verse, top 158, Klal Yisrael finally merits the Zikaron, which would bring that period of persecution to a halt, to an end. This would lead through the humility engendered by complete and sincere teshuva, which was accomplished after the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay. V'zachati es bris Yaakov. I will remember the treaty I made with Jacob. V'zachati es asher Yitzchak. Okay. V'zachati es bris Yaakov. I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, with Jacob. Okay. Hold on. This will be while Israel is still in exile. For as soon as Israel, with humility, do tshuva in their hearts, I, Hashem, have mercy upon them. That is Brisi Yitzchak. Also my covenant with Isaac. Why is the term Zechira, remembrance, not used in connection with Yitzchak? This is because God is telling us that the ashes of Isaac are consistently before me, piled up and resting on the multiplier this year. So this means that since Isaac was prepared to give his life at the Akedah to fulfill God's will, it's considered by God as if he actually was slaughtered and burned on the altar, and as if his ashes are constantly resting before him. That's why there's no notion of Zechira in connection with Isaac, because Hashem is telling us that the ashes of Isaac are always before him, piled up and resting on the altar. He is prepared to give his life at the altar to fulfill God's will. So therefore it's considered by God as if he actually did do it. And it's like an ola, ke'ola, Hashem said. And so he was thereby burnt. Not burnt in the Mishnah, but burned in the Talmud. Okay? What does that mean? This means that since Isaac was prepared to give his life at the Akedah to fulfill God's will, it's considered by God as if he actually was slaughtered and burned on the altar, and as if his ashes are constantly resting before God. There's no need for God to remember the schus of Isaac. Isaac's remembrance before God is constant and uninterrupted. See Rashi in Bereishis 22, regarding the reason why Abraham named Har HaMoriah Hashem Yireh, God will see, following the Akedah. Rashi explains that Abraham was praying that in all generations, God would recognize that, quote, the ashes of Isaac are piled up as an atonement. Finally, Vafis Brisi Abraham is core. I'll also remember my covenant with Abraham. Why are the Avos written here in reverse order, from Jacob to Isaac to Abraham? This is to say that the schus of Yaakov, the youngest, is actually sufficient. Excuse me. First base of Mikdash, Sora or Mora. The first base of Mikdash stood in the merit of Abraham. The second in the merit of Isaac. The final one being the merit of Jacob. Yaakov's source of wealth of merit was the Torah, indicating that the final the redemption also will be in the merit of Torah. Here I thought it was Chesed. That's why we say the bracha, Magen Avram, in the Shemot Esrei. Hashem is the shield of Abraham, because at the end of the day, all we're going to have is our Chesed. But we do have a lot of Torah being learned in the world today, and we're part of that right now. Just as Jacob endured many trials and tribulations, Israel later endured vast suffering in this final galus. We'll be redeemed in the schus of Yaakov, who remained steadfast in his emunah throughout his life. Okay, if the merit of Yaakov proves insufficient, then Isaac is with him. If his schus is also insufficient, Avram is with him, whose merits are definitely adequate for Klal Yisrael, Israel, to be deserving of the Geula. Top page 159. The merit of the Imahos, the merit of the matriarchs. The Midrash says that the word S, which appears in our verse three times, hints at the merit of the matriarchs, which teaches us that God's merit of us will be in the combined mercy of us and Imahos. The combined merit of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. The mamas and the papas. We know that the merit of our matriarchs, of Klal Yisrael, we know it's tremendously great. What's the specific mida? What specific trait epitomizes their legacy? So the Maharal writes in Givuros Hashem, end of chapter 60, the Maharal writes that it was the tznius, the refined modesty of the matriarchs, which was their unique merit. Due to their modesty, the Midrash compares their spirituality to the pleasant fragrance of frankincense. He adds that tznius is essential to the spiritual accomplishment of all Jewish women. Top 160. The Sfasemis has a different approach. He writes that great merit of the matriarchs is due to their trait of rachmanus, mercy. He writes that even according to the opinion of the Gemara, that tamas chosavos. Okay, Sfasemis writes that the great merit of the Imahos, the matriarchs, is due to their trait of rachmanus, mercy. He writes that even according to the opinion of the Gemara, that tamas chosavos, if the merit of the avos has been exhausted, yeah, but the merit of the matriarchs will always be in existence due to their trait of rachmanus. Here. Okay. Baharat Eskar, and I'll remember the land. How is the concept of Zikaron relevant to the land? The Medrash explains in the parable. A king had three children who were cared for by a matron. Whenever he inquired about the well-being of his children, he also asked after the matron. In the same way, says the Medrash, whenever Hashem remembers the schus of his three children, the Imahos, he also inquires about after the well-being of Klal Yisrael, which assisted the Avos in attaining their spiritual perfection. Thus, when we remember Hashem and go in the way of our patriarchs, who constantly remembered God, we're also bringing God's favorable zikaron upon the land of Israel. our connection to Zechus Avos, to the merit of the forefathers. In Zichronos, in all these verses, these 10 verses scattered throughout the Bible, in this portion of the prayer called Zichronos as a whole, and our verse in particular, we see that the merit of the patriarchs is essential for our favorable Zikaron, our favorable remembrance before God, and for our future redemption. What's the meaning of Zichus Avos? Why should we receive better treatment than we deserve because our forebears were righteous? Furthermore, how does it work? Are there conditions which need to be fulfilled in order for us to benefit them? You may describe Zichus Avos. One last time. How does it work? Are there conditions which need to be fulfilled in order for us to benefit from Zichus Avos? In order for us to be able to benefit from the privilege that Hashem gave the patriarchs and us? Okay, but the question is, are there conditions which need to be fulfilled in order for us to benefit from Zichus Avos? The above questions have already been partially addressed in our introduction to Zichronos, however. However, at this point, it would be appropriate for us to further clarify the subject. The Midrash discusses Yaakov Avinu's prayer, in which he asked to be saved from the evil designs of his brother Esau, addressing God as the God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Yitzchak. The Midrash says, didn't Esau have Zichus Avos? However, the explanation is that while he did, one who chooses to go this way or that way likes their friends. Okay, let's start wrapping it up. Oh, yeah, almost done. Let's get back to the table. I'll be more awake, and we'll finish off this subsection. There we go. The above questions have already been partially addressed in our introduction to Zichronos. However, at this point, it would be appropriate for us to further clarify the subject. The Midrash discusses Jacob's tefillah, in which he asked to be saved from the evil designs of his brother Esau, addressing God as the God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac. The Midrash asks, didn't Esau also have Zichus Avos? Didn't Esau also have Isaac and Abraham? But the explanation is, one who chooses to go in their ways and does like their deeds, I, God, am associated with him. This means, Hashem says, I, God, will assist this person because he continues in and completes the ways and deeds of the Avos in bringing about the revelation of Kvod Shemayim, the revelation of the honor of heaven. That's from Chaim Friedlander. It's clear from this Midrash that Zichus Avos, the merit of the patriarchs, is not an automatic privilege granted to anyone whose ancestry includes Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That doesn't apply to Esav. Rav Dessler explains that Zichus Avos, the merit of the patriarchs, needs to be earned. We as individuals and as Klal Yisrael must constantly strive to emulate the ways of the patriarchs. We have inherited a wealth of potential. The patriarchs perfected themselves in good character traits and in their burning desire for closeness to God. They bequeathed the potential for these characteristics to Klal Yisrael, their descendants. Zichus Avos, the merit of the patriarchs, is a collection of great and pure character traits, which gives us the potential to continue in the ways of the Avos. When God sees that we are aware of this great inheritance, that we are striving to develop the tremendous spiritual resources that we have, he realizes that we are headed in the right direction. He judges us not only according to the deeds and misdeeds that we may have done, but according to our inner desire to improve and to fully achieve our potential. He then will see that the promises that he made to the patriarchs indeed apply to us, who need those promises to be fulfilled in order to maximize our ability to emulate the Avos and live with complete devotion to the Torah. The Midrash on our verse tells us, Rabbi Yudan, the son of Rabbi Barachia, said, if you see that the schus of the Avos is shaky, that the schus of the matriarchs has become weakened, Go and become involved with chesed. The Eitz Yosef explains that this means to do acts of kindness ourselves, thereby emulating the others, and also to ask Hashem to show his kindness. That's the meaning of the verse, Ki haharim yamushu, yamushu, v'agivos timutena, v'chasti me'itech lo yamush, lo yamush. Okay? For the mountains, the chasavos may be moved, and the hills, the imos, the matriarchs may falter, but my kindness shall not be removed from you. It's Isaiah 54, verse 10. The Midrash is telling us that the way to ensure that Tzchus Avos, the merit of the patriarchs, will be fully applicable to us is to ensure that we emulate those patriarchs. When we do this, we'll be building upon the Tzchus, the merit, the inner purity, and the devotion which we have inside us, which comes from the holy patriarchs, and Hashem will respond with his favorable zikaron, that Hashem will respond to us with a favorable remembrance. Summary of the third verse in the Torah. I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham I'll remember, and I'll remember the land. Following the exile in Babylon, the Jewish people would return to God in complete tshuva, and God would remember them. That is, he looked favorably upon them and end their persecution. This would be in the merit of the patriarchs and the matriarchs, hinted to by the word S. By emulating their example in perfection of character and good deeds, we attach ourselves to them and will merit the blessings that they were promised. So that just seems to be that we're doing chesed in the realm, that's like the realm of Abraham. Earlier we're talking about that we're going to be blessed in the merit of Jacob and his Torah study. Maybe it's a little bit of everything. Let's study Torah and let's do chesed. How about that as an option? I think it's a good one. Thank you so much for calling in, everybody. A big yishtok to everybody listening and who's going to hear it on the other side after we publish it. We've gotten to page 164. We're now next week, God willing. Wait a second. Next week is Rosh Hashanah, Monday and Tuesday. We therefore will not have our book club class next week, which is sad but true. So God willing, in 2 weeks, if we can have class, we do have class. That's generally the way we do things around here. So no book club class next week because of Rosh Hashanah, and no Tanakh Tuesday because the Yantav will end. Not even sure when. There's just no way to know exactly precisely. It's going to be 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever it is. And so that'll wipe out the Tanakh class. But of course, tomorrow night we'll have it. So let's rejoice on that. At all events, thank you so much, everybody who called in. A big shout-out to one and all. Hopefully you enjoyed. No class, no book class next week, but God willing, we'll get back together again in 2 weeks. Everybody have a great rest of the day. Thank you so much for calling in. And God willing, don't forget us tomorrow night, 7:30, Tanakh Tuesday, as we continue our study of Jonah. Take care and be well, everybody. Have a great day. All best. Bye-bye.